When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They called me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. We're going to give some road trip advice to a fellow conspiracy realist. We're going to learn about how the nation of Canada agrees with us about some very dire predictions. We're going to get introduced to a fringe, very strange political cabal here in the U.S. We may have a letter from home if we got time. But first things first, for our listener mail program this evening, we got a fantastic letter that I think we all read with avid interest.
Oh yes, we got a message from Lex. This is just their experience in a weird situation, and it's right up our alley. We think it'll be up yours, too. So let's get started. Guys, what do you say we round robin this thing? I'll kick us off here. Lex says, stuff they don't want you to know, crew. Hey, guys. I just wanted to start off by saying I'm a longtime listener, and I love everything you put together. Yeah, you do, Lex. No, just joking. Thank you for that. That's very kind. I'm writing this email to share an experience I had with the CIA that I think you might enjoy. About a year ago, I was working as an investigator for the Department of Labor. I've since returned to private industry. When my office received a complaint from a contractor at a major CIA campus in Northern Virginia, as a long-term conspiracy realist and fan of the show, I could not let this opportunity go by. I immediately volunteered to take the case.
For most employers covered in my jurisdiction, I would just show up unannounced to conduct an inspection/investigation. However, with the CIA, I suspected that my DOL badge wasn't going to be enough. So, with some cooperation from the complainant and extra digging on my part, I eventually made contact with the security team for that CIA campus. I had to provide some information for an expedited background check, and within a couple of days, I was on the road for the 4-hour drive from my office to the incident location. Fun fact, I happened to have been listening to your audiobook, at the time, which provided the perfect ambiance for what was to come.
And quick editorial note here before we continue, Lex. I read this with great, great interest and was actually holding off on writing to you until we could share this on air. So be expectant. It continues. Lex continues. As I reached the location given to me, I quickly realized that I was at a dummy location. The GPS took me to a construction site packed between abandoned buildings. There was a guard shack at the entrance of the construction site, and about six security officers armed with machine guns stepped out of it right as I rounded the corner. The guy who looked to be in charge ordered me to turn off the car and roll down my window. After I provided him my driver's license and the name of the security officer that Lex was supposed to meet, he told me to turn around and follow a black SUV to the actual facility entrance. I turn the car around and see the SUV waiting on the road for me. This is when it gets weird.
I reached for my phone to call my boss and let him know I've arrived and things are very CIA. But my phone, which was just on, using the GPS and plugged in, was off. I turned it back on, but it had no service. I then tried my work cell. That was also off and had a dead cell signal. Bizarrely, both cell phones remained without service while I followed the black SUV on public roads for about 10 minutes.
Eventually, we pulled off onto a nondescript road that looked like some rich guy's driveway and followed that down to the facility's gate. At the gate, I'm asked to park my car and meet the security officer I had arranged with, as he would be my escort. I parked the car, got out, and walked over to him. We officially introduced ourselves, and he reviewed the rules of the site, which included no electronics for visitors. At this point, I realized that I had my work cell on my person. I disclosed this to the security officer and told him that I needed to drop it off in the car.
We're going to paraphrase a little bit here, Lex. When I returned to the car, I tried unlocking it with a key fob, but nothing happened. I tried all of the buttons, and the key fob didn't work at all. I checked the phone again and saw that it still had no service. The security officer yelled over to me to ask if everything is okay. I yelled back to him that the car won't unlock, and I think my key batteries are dead. He just nodded, pulled out his cell phone, which appeared to be working just fine, and he calls someone. Within 30 seconds, he tells me, "Try it again." And suddenly, the car unlocks. Curious, as I'm putting it away, I checked the cell phone and saw that it now had service. I know that signal jammers are not necessarily new technology, but it was still spooky to experience what I believe was one. The rest of the investigation proceeded fairly normally, considering, but there were a few other funny and interesting details I think are worth sharing.
First, the CIA staff I met with would only give me their first names. I put that in quotes because their names were all so bland that it was obvious they were fake. Everyone was Jack, Jill, Steve, Alex, etc. Similar to the alias names, the email addresses I was given were odd. For those that don't know, federal agencies use a similar formula. Last name, period. Middle initial, period. First name, at department. And that's the initials of the department, so like .gov. So for example, John S. Doe from the Department of Labor would have the email doe.s.john@dol.gov. Well, these CIA guys all gave me weird Gmail accounts as their official work emails, and it was clear they had fun with the account names. It would be something like a built 40-year-old man with an email address pixiecandle572@gmail.com. I guess having an email address that ends in @CIA.gov is bad spycraft.
No, for sure. Another funny detail I think you would appreciate is that all of the contractors I talked to also used aliases, but their aliases were a bit more overt. They identified each other as cryptids. By the end of the investigation, I had formal written statements from Sasquatch, Chupacabra, Nessie, Mothman, and others. Finally, an interesting detail I picked up from talking with the manager of the CIA was that they are having a hard time recruiting people, not from a lack of applicants, but from finding people who can pass their background test. Apparently, the most common cause of disqualification is from music and textbook piracy.
Whoops. Anyways, I hope you all found this interesting. Feel free to share it on air if you want. Best wishes, Lex. Well, my goodness, guys, what a message from Lex. What a story. I think the email addresses thing is like one of the most fun. But the jammers, guys, jamming the signal from your key fob on your phone to your car.
pretty focused, you know?
Thanks so much for writing in, Lex. Again, this is really awesome, and we appreciate the in-detail stuff. And I've got to tell you guys, this probably is going to sound familiar to some of our listeners in the audience this evening.
Which ones?
Yeah, I guess I just, you know, to Lex's point, Jammer's certainly something we're aware of, but the precision at play here and the specificity of the various types of signals and the ability to just kind of flip them on and off. Maybe that is old hat to people that are more familiar with this kind of tech, but seems pretty interesting to me. And I also, the email addresses with the Gmails, it kind of reminds me of those auto-generated passwords you'll find on the back of routers sometimes, where it'll be like weird combinations of words and letters. Like I had one years ago that was like large trumpet 576, you know, for the password that was auto-generated. So I'm wondering if pixie candle 572 was in some way using some kind of algorithm to like generate weird combos of words and letters that couldn't be, you know, figured out.
That's innocuous, maybe. It sounds like a exactly. Kid even, or just a young adult, you know, something like that. Very weird. Very weird stuff. It strikes me as odd that they would even do those kind of procedures for an official investigation by something like the Department of Labor. I don't know. That's odd. Like, I guess attempting to hide the location of like, where the actual facility is. I guess that's the reason. And in case someone else is tracking that phone as it's coming in or something like that.
Kind of reminds me of like taking someone to a secure location where you have to blindfold them or something. Like, yeah. I mean, you know, it's different, but.
But yeah, that is just really weird to me that they would do that to basically other governmental organizations on official business. All right. Well, hey, if that's all we got, thank you so much, Lex, for writing in. We will be right back with more messages from you.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
And we've returned with a bit of conspiracy vacation. A request came in from a listener. I'm just going to leave anonymous because they didn't give a nickname, and I hope this is helpful. Asked for a response via email, but this was just too good not to share with everybody. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and you guys have always recommended things that go along with whatever you're talking about in that episode. I was hoping to have some recommendations from you guys for my upcoming trips. I will be driving from Orlando, Florida to Williamsburg, Virginia for one trip, and from Orlando, Florida to Gatlinburg, Tennessee for another. Maybe you can also recommend some places in the state of Florida where my husband and I live. I'd love for you guys to reply to this email with them. I hope this is not a big ask or any inconvenience for you guys. Keep up the amazing work, and I look forward to the episodes to come. Well, hopefully you'll enjoy hearing from all three of us on this one. I only provided stuff for the first trip, so maybe we'll save the second one for another time. But hopefully these are some points of interest. My mind initially, me being bad at geography, jumped to Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Yeah, Virginia, oh, Virginias are the same, right? No, it's about 6 hours out of the way to go to Point Pleasant, where the Mothman Museum is. And we have been to where there's that incredible buff statue of the Mothman. You bounce a quarter off of his metal butt. Really cool little museum and tour, but probably not for this trip. A little too out of the way. So where I did land was in that route, or at least what Google Maps kind of created as that route, you pass through Savannah, Georgia, which is a really cool gothic kind of old worldly kind of city, very akin to New Orleans in terms of its pirate history and sort of, you know, port kind of city vibes, which comes with a lot of interesting things, including lots of ghost stories, as well as some murders most foul. And I found a really cool article actually from the, I think, Savannah Visitors Bureau, the 6 most haunted places in Savannah that you can actually visit. So you could do this, you know, on your own without even having to employ a tour. And then I'll give you a couple recommendations for that. The Hamilton Turner Inn was a site of filming from the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. And it is said to be a hub of paranormal activity. Inside the inn, people have reported hearing the sounds of children laughing and billiard balls clinking around on the upper floors in the night, as well as sightings of a strange cigar-smoking man on the roof. Then we also have the Marshall House, which USA Today named one of the best haunted hotels in the U.S. since 1851. I didn't even know that was a thing that USA Today chimed in on, but good to know. And since 1851, this hotel was actually just a hospital several times, and we've seen that in a lot of the stories that we've told on this podcast about haunted places, that the sites of pain and suffering and illness and tragedy are often seem to be imbued with some kind of, like, you know, energy that remains, whether it be ghosts or just kind of bad vibes. Check out our episode on vibes. In one of these instances where the Marshall House was a hospital, it housed Union soldiers. And then another 2 times for the 19th century yellow fever epidemics. And guests have reported numerous paranormal encounters, such as ghosts in the hallway. And again, the creepiest of ghostly sounds, that of children laughing and running down the halls, as well as faucets turning on and off by themselves. Highly recommend checking out the rest of this list. I got to just mention the Pirate's House, which is a really cool restaurant, kind of goofy. You know, you can, it's very pirate themed, get your pirate cocktails. They get a little hat you can put on the kids. But the building itself, while today a super touristy kind of, you know, eatery, does have a bit of a dark past. Many folks were essentially robbed and taken captive in this boarding house basement, and they were forced to serve a life at sea. So check out this article if you want to see some more. There are also a ton of ghost tours, and I can't not recommend the Mad Cat Tours True Crime Pub Crawl, the original Savannah murder tour. And from their website, it asks you to join them on a twilight true crime investigation of Savannah's murderous, scandalous, fascinating past, complete with serial killers, crimes of passion, and compelling unsolved cases, with stops at bars all along the way. 4 bars. Grab yourself some drinks and hear the sordid history of Savannah, Georgia's true crime, including a murder that resulted in more than 100 arrests. What's that about? I don't even know. I don't want to give too much away, but I do think this one would be worth booking.
It sounds awesome. Guys, I keep thinking about the sound of, like, pool balls or billiard balls,
yeah,
clanking above me. If I know that there's no one up there to physically hit those balls, because it takes, you know, it takes a lot of exertion to move those balls. I guess I have seen videos of a cat moving billiard balls before, but I don't know. It still strikes me as needing a lot of kinetic force, that if it was a spirit or ghost or haunting of some sort, it would be a powerful one.
Agreed. And Ben, I just want one more on kind of maybe a little flip back around from Williamsburg, Virginia, back to Orlando. Slight change in route. You'll pass right through the Outer Banks of North Carolina, which in and of themselves is apparently worth the price of admission. But in the Outer Banks area is the site of the lost colony of Roanoke, which we have covered here on this very podcast.
Yeah, shout out Croton. That's a great call, Noel. I think all of these recommendations are fantastic. We also, Anonymous, we are big fans, as you and your significant other may be, of the Weird Blank series, Weird U.S. There's one for every state now, Weird Alaska, Weird Virginia, Weird Florida. And those books are similar to Atlas Obscura. They're great guides to things in your area. Without building out a full itinerary, there are some things in Gatlinburg that I think would be of interest to you all. Also in Pigeon Forge, which is just about 20 minutes away from Gatlinburg via car. There's one that I have not been to, but we need boots on the ground, folks. We need someone to tell us whether this is cool. The Alcatraz East Crime Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Yeah, it feels like it's right up our alley, and maybe yours as well, Anonymous.
Absolutely. And just really, really quickly, as pertains to the Roanoke situation, there is a museum that has a lot of artifacts that were left behind by these disappeared colonists. And just for a quick little bit of background, please do check out our episode on it. There were settlers who arrived in this part of North Carolina in 1587. And in 1590, soldiers came and found that the place had been entirely abandoned, leaving only the word Croatoan carved onto one of the gateposts of the fort, as well as crow etched into a tree, C-R-O. And conspiracy theories have abounded, from Native American attacks to much more nefarious and sinister things, like I believe even like cannibalism or something. There was several real gnarly ones that were in there, like some sort of cultish type activity even. And maybe I don't know, do you guys have any favorite theories? I mean, I know I think there was some excavation in the past decade or so that sort of led to a little bit more of a concrete understanding of what likely happened.
Starvation and privation leading to assimilation with the native peoples, I think, is probably the best bet.
There you go. I've got one more shout out, guys. A little while back, we had a listener that called in. We talked to him a bit and we purchased some of his maps. And I think we are all the proud owners now of the Map in Black, which is a very large, oversized map of the United States that shows cryptid sightings and like hot spots for certain cryptids and haunted places. Highly recommend it if you can afford it and you want to check it out. We are not sponsored by them, but it's just it's a neat resource to have if you're going on one of these trips like this. And for your second leg of the trip, it might be a good way to find some stuff to do.
Mm-hmm. And to Ben's point about the Weird America stuff, there are also like Atlas Obscura is really great, and any kind of roadside oddities. There's tons of them on these type of coastal drives that would maybe be outside of the scope of this conversation here. But like, I think you could probably do a little bit of digging and find some neat places to stop along the way. But hopefully Savannah is a really cool place to spend a couple of days even. And then the Outer Banks in general, I've heard wonderful things about it. I've never been, but it's apparently quite beautiful in and of itself. And then you got the added conspiracy bonus of the Roanoke site.
And this may be something we go into more detail in an email to you, Anonymous, but I will say on air, and I think this applies to everyone, if you have the time in a road trip in these great United States, do your best not to take the interstates. Try to take the back roads. It's going to take longer, but you'll see more stuff. I'm a huge fan of that. And I'm also, you know, you all have a wealth of amazing, weird things to see in your own locale of Orlando. I'm thinking back years ago, I believe it was a Car Stuff episode. I learned about the singing runway of Orlando. This is not so much creepy, it's just really weird. If you like urban exploration and abandoned stuff, in the 1970s, Disney wanted to build a runway that would be like a peak Disney experience as soon as you landed or took off. And it didn't work out. Spoilers. The runway was shut down and abandoned, and it's technically closed. But if you are, if you get out that way in Orlando and you drive on this runway, which is still around, at a speed higher than 45 miles an hour, it will play the song "When You Wish Upon a Star."
No way.
Yes, way,
Ted. That's wild. Oh man, that's pretty neat. What if you run really fast?
I don't know.
Will it play it at a slower speed?
Are you like, tires or will it just play like a chopped and screwed version?
That's what I'm wondering, man. Yeah. Let's circuit bend that bad boy.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Circuit bending. I mean, I love that stuff. And there's so much. I mean, of course, the Kennedy Space Center. I don't know how it is for people living in Orlando. I mean, it's like Titusville is what, an hour south of Orlando. So is it like how New Yorkers see the Statue of Liberty every day and they just never actually visit? Or, you know, how excited are people about the Space Center? There's so many things. Yeah, we'll just have to, we'll have to email you a list. And Noel, I think you did a fantastic job with those Savannah recommendations. Savannah is a place that has such beauty and history to it. It is also a very haunted place, whether or not you believe in ghosts, because the past and the present are a palimpsest.
Well, let's take a quick pause and have a word from our sponsor and then come back with another message from you.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision?
Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel.
Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
So tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix.
Terminix can't help you solve the world's biggest mysteries or take on alien life.
At least not the ones you're thinking of. But they can help take care of pesky invaders in your home.
Like the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, and the termites in the walls.
Because when pests show up, so does Terminix.
No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control.
Their expertly trained technicians may not know true crime, but they know their local pest pressures.
And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good.
Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere.
So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it. Terminix it.
Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today.
That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
All right, we've returned. We're going to give you just a couple of quick ones here. And one thing that really want the group opinion on, and then a nice little letter from home. So we're beginning and ending with our neighbors to the north. Bob M. writes to us and says, check out the link here, and Bob provides us a link. The RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Canada's federal police force, created this document that got obtained by a lawyer through Canada's version of a FOIA request, an Access to Information Privacy Act, or ATIP request. Way better acronym. Parts of it have been heavily redacted. The audience is not the public. The audience is management of the RCMP. So this is like an internal memo leak. And if you want to read this, folks, you can go to ctvnews.ca and you can read excerpts of this. Just check for the article, Secret RCMP Report Forecast a Bleak Future in Canada by Daniel Otis. And guys, this has some pretty terrifying stuff in here. It confirms a lot of things that we have predicted, mentioned on this show. A lot of our fellow conspiracy realists have talked with us about it. And a ton of our personal friends in Canada are experiencing this. But it's weird to hear a government document say it so bluntly. That's what we'll say. Say it bluntly. So like, for instance, it was published in 2023. And it says Canada is reaching the end of abundance. Future economic forecasts are bleak. Quote, the coming periods of recession will also accelerate the decline in living standards that the younger generations have already witnessed compared to earlier generations. It goes on to state, quote, many Canadians under 35 are unlikely ever to be able to buy a place to live. Which is, that's kind of weird for the government itself to be saying that, right?
A little bit.
Just being honest, man.
Yeah, but they're not being honest with the public. They're being honest with the management of the federal police force.
Well, they're letting them know those folks are probably going to be a little peeved and watch out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quote, law enforcement should anticipate that these destructive weather patterns, they're talking about how the climate's going to be ruined too, will affect all facets of government, including damaged infrastructure, pressure to cede Arctic territory, and more. Social and political polarization fueled by misinformation campaigns and increasing mistrust for all democratic institutions. Basically, they told the bosses of the RCMP, and Doc, please beat me here. I've been trying to be better at this, but they told the bosses of the feds, the federal police, shit is going to hit the fan. Be ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I can't, it's weird because I can't fault any of this stuff. I see all of this coming too. And I'm just a layperson sitting here, you know, in Georgia, well, in California right now. But I mean, doesn't it feel like this is the future, guys?
It does, doesn't it? It feels somewhat, you know, in a very bleak way, it feels validating because now it's not just us. We are not heads of government, but now heads of government are saying this stuff in an increasingly open way. And you, because this is out in the public now, you can read that redacted version of the report. Weirdly enough, if you look at it, it looks like a brochure. You know, it's got little word bubbles for different categories of terrible things.
Yes.
Yeah, it's heavily redacted, but it's only yeah.
Sorry. Wait, is it, could you talk more about how the report was created? Like, was it, are these experts coming through weighing in, or are they analyzing stuff that's just written online?
It's called Whole of Government 5-Year Trends for Canada. It's relatively short. It's 9 pages. And because it's so redacted, it's a breeze to read. I'm endeavoring to be positive. Yeah, they based this on what they call open source information from over 2022. And they got this from law enforcement agencies, government agencies, private industry, private entities, domestic and international. So what they're saying is they read everything they could that could apply to this. They're not claiming, and maybe this is where the question was going, they're not claiming to have any top secret information.
Yeah, like they don't know of specific things that are to come. They're forecasting what could potentially happen based on what, you know, experts are saying and observing.
Right. Like most people currently can't predict the future, but if you have driven your car off a cliff, you can make some assumptions about what's going to happen next, right? Because you know the present factors.
So many of us have accidentally done that. So no.
Yeah, yeah, remember that time right I followed the GPS into the lake like Michael Scott? It didn't really happen, but it could.
Bob says it appears to have been based on that open source information. However, the focus and conclusions are chilling, and that's only the parts they allowed to be released. And Bob signs off with, developed nations had a good run, I guess, which is, we can't leave you like that without a dope beat to step to, folks. So we're going to give you, something else. I think that was validating, hopefully, for a lot of people to hear that some of the concerns that are coming out being more and more mainstreamed, they are real. It's not just a bunch of people making up alarmist stuff. And I think it's important to remember that when we hear these things in the future. But wanted to give you one more dark side thing. You guys remember how Haley introduced us to that terrifying cult, the 2x2s?
Yeah.
Okay. I think we may have hit on a little bit of a nerve because we're getting introduced to more strange cultic organizations. And that's where Skeptical Dark Horse comes in. You have my permission to read this on air if you wish, and you can call me Skeptical Dark Horse. Can you please do an episode on the SACR group, SACR, the Society for American Civic Renewal? I'm sure you've likely heard of this group. We have not. Membership is limited to elite Christian heterosexual right-wing nationalists.
Sound like delightful folks.
Yeah, fun at parties. With the upcoming election and the group favoring a particular orange candidate, I think this is something important to help crack open. Thanks for all you do, guys. Listen on daily. I appreciate you. Skeptical Dark Horse. Now, you know, we're not getting into like the political ideology divide stuff unless it pertains to conspiracy. And first off, I'm pretty sure none of us had heard of this organization, right? Am I correct?
I have not, no.
I have no recollection.
I've heard of ones like it.
No. We're already in no recollection territory. Okay. Yeah. On record testimony. Yeah. The Society for American Civic Renewal. We're learning a lot of this from an article that you hipped us to, Skeptical Dark Horse, published in The Guardian by journalist Jason Wilson. And it is a biography or character sketch of a sort. It's titled, The U.S. Businessman is Wannabe Warlord of Secretive Far-Right Men's Network. And it's all about this guy named Charles Haywood, who also has financial ties with another institute, the Claremont Institute. They're weird. The guy, Haywood himself, seems to aspire to be a warlord after the collapse of the current American state. And if you go to their website, which the Guardian article links, it's like one page. And it says, our organization's goal is civilizational renaissance with strong leadership committed to family and culture. Feeling a little bit Handmaid's Tale. Just a little bit.
A little bit.
I'm going through the website now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. It's got a weird address.
It really does. Archive. Oh, well, this is the way the Guardian links it, I think, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's so they could keep it stable in their article. But you can see the vision. We foresee a nation building great projects of civic and cultural renaissance, a society with strong leadership committed to family and culture, a society that nurtures rather than rejects virtue, a society that seeks the good and beautiful and abjures ideology. That is sound and fury signifying nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what do you define those words as? This is
gobbledygook, I say.
Yes. Slick malarkey.
That's very visual. I like that.
There goes the synesthesia. So the problem with this, at least in the opinion of its critics, is that they believe this is something they're calling paleogenetic ultra nationalism, true fascism, in other words. And that's from folks like Heidi Barrick, co-founder of the Global Project on Hate and Extremism. And what they're worried about is that this group, which is a technically a nonprofit, may be involved in creating organized secessionist forces, like militias. It may be, their aim may be a militia factory. And I don't know.
It's got a really cool symbol.
Yeah, they spend some time on it. Yeah,
they call it the mark.
Well, you describe it, yeah.
That's how I judge my extremist groups, is by the quality of their branding.
Yeah, the logo, right? You know what I mean?
It's like when I'm picking out a bottle of wine, you know?
I guess what I mean is, like, I can imagine seeing that spray painted on walls, or, you know, emblazoned on a giant thing that gets unfurled on the Capitol somewhere.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, and it is true. It reminds me of times when I was abroad and just in the nicest neighborhoods, and you walk outside and you see somebody is just covered an area with swastikas and stuff. Like, it happens. It could, as our pal Robert Evans says, it could happen here. And this, some of these claims in the article go to Haywood's own, I don't know if it's fantasizing or if it's ambitious, actionable writing, but he talks about things that he calls armed patronage network. And they're saying the central authorities break down somehow. And so you have these franchised militias, and then you have, you know, like a regional warlord, a capo, and then, like, you know, a mega boss warlord, which would be Haywood himself. Because usually when people write stuff like this, they're putting themselves in that top slot. He says the following: at this moment, I preside over what amounts to an extended, quite sizable compound, which when complete, I like to say accurately, will be impervious to anything but direct organized military attack. It requires a group of men to make it work, what I call shooters, say 15 able-bodied, adequately trained men who can operate my compound both defensively and administratively. Meanwhile, I have the personality and skills to lead such a group.
Okay.
I feel like whenever people say I'm the leader, they're kind of showing that they're not the leader. You know what I mean? The personality and the skills. I don't know. We know that there are a lot of separatist networks out there, and they're not necessarily all far right, to be fair, and they don't always work together. But the question that the current authorities always ask themselves is, how serious are these people, right? Like, how often are they going to go AFK away from keyboard and get out there and do some of the stuff they're talking about? And I don't know. It feels like it gets really complicated really quickly, because you don't want to impinge on people's rights. You know, if they want to live in a commune and they're not hurting anybody, and you should be able to do so. But I mean, what's the line? What happens? Do you just have to monitor these people and hope they don't escalate?
Well, we need to join, guys. We can send an email to membership@sacr.us if we are, quote, interested in learning more. So I think that's the first step.
I'm sure it goes straight to some people who just go by James or Joe. In certain parts of Virginia.
It is directly forwarded to pixiecandle572@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah.
And with that, we want to hear your opinions too, folks. We want to hear how what the line is between people's rights or state surveillance. The current U.S. government does have some very, very big and very big and disturbing problems. Tell us also your favorite off the beaten path, strange attractions in the back roads of your neck of the global woods. We'll end with one letter from home. Hey, gentlemen, longtime listener here. Just wanted to let you know that you've all been particularly hilarious recently. I love your quick humor, easy banter, and joyful laughs. Keep being awesome. Chelsea from
Canada.
That's
a nice thing to say.
Thank you, Chelsea. You've
made
my day. Canadians
really are very, very kind.
I thought it'd be nice to end on like a bookend of Canada there.
It's a love fest. Thank you, Chelsea. That makes, I think, all of us warms our very cockles.
And if you would like to join the show, we'd love to have you on air in one way or another. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us at the Handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on YouTube, on Facebook with our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, and on X, FKA, Twitter. On Instagram and TikTok, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
If you'd like to call us, call 1-833-STDWYTK. It's a voicemail system. Give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your message on the air. Them's the rules and the only rules. If you got more to say than can fit in that 3 minutes, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are.
The folks who read every single email we get, be well aware, conspiracy realists, sometimes the void writes back. Give us the links. Never bothers us if it's an essay. Go into as much or as little detail as you can. Take us to the edge of the rabbit hole. We will do the rest. 24 hours in the evening, 7 days a night, 7 days a week night. Never mind.
You're like, silly, Ben. I love it.
Keep it all in. Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.